Morning, everybody. It's a hard day. We are here to worship our Lord, and our call to worship is Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And our title today of the sermon is Repentant Heart. And the reason why I chose that is because last week we talked about some of the passages that I've used in the last 5.5 years to encourage us to live more for Him, and even in the middle of struggles of our life. And we all have struggles in our life. And so this week I'm going to be talking about the biggest weakness in the American church. That is unforgiveness. The title is Repentant Heart. So as we read this, keep that in mind. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath and revelation to the righteous judgment of God. Listen to this. Who will render to each person according to their deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But for those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There's two kinds of people in the world. Those who want to live for righteousness and those who do not and do not pursue it. So the message isn't really about the end times, but it kind of points us to that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today, and I pray that your name will be lifted up, and I pray that all those that are here will be encouraged to live for you and pursue righteousness in their life. Amen. Our text today, our main text today, is 2 Peter 3, 8 through 11. If you want to follow along. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but listen to this, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things will be destroyed in this way, and here's what I want you to remember today, because all of those things will be destroyed, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? I have a short story, and it's titled, You Didn't Tell Me That, and it's from my Nelson Book of Illustration. J. Edwin Orr, a revivalist and historian, was with Billy Graham when the evangelist addressed a meeting in Beverly Hills, attended by the notorious gangster Mickey Cohen. Did anybody know who that was? I don't know who that was anyways. But anyways, he was a gangster. He expressed some interest in the message, or later wrote. So several of us talked with him, including Dr. Graham. But he made no commitment until later, some time later, when another friend urged him with Revelation 3:20 as a warrant to invite Jesus into his life. And by the way, Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This he professed to do, but his life subsequently gave no evidence of repentance. The mighty change of mind and heart and life. He rebuked our friend, telling him, You did not tell me that I had to give up my work. He meant the rackets. You did not tell me that I had to give up my friends. He meant his gangster associates. He had heard that so-and-so cowboy was a Christian, and so-and-so Christian actor, and that so-and-so was a Christian senator. And he really thought that he could be a Christian gangster. The fact is, he goes on, repentance is the missing note in much modern evangelism. Another one by Edwin Orr. He says, listen to this. This is thought-provoking. Does repentant and believe the gospel imply that the sinner must do two things to be saved and not just one? We've always been told, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, right? The exhortation is really only one requirement. The instruction, leave London and go to Los Angeles, sounds like a twofold request, but it is really only one. It's impossible to go to Los Angeles without leaving London. So it's the same command. Repent and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the message that you've given today. I pray that you'll teach us, Lord, to be repentant and pursue righteousness in our life. Amen. Last week, as I mentioned already, and many of you weren't there, we talked about some of the, what I call the greats of the last 5.5 years, some of the things that, texts that I've used to encourage all of you and to encourage me. And I'm going to pick on Margaret a little bit because she's fun to pick on. Every time I mention Philippians 4:6-8, she rolls her eyes. It's like, oh, not again. There's certain texts in the Bible that we know are healthy for us, but we ignore them, don't we? Some of them we ignore. So I want to do the same sort of thing today and talk about the biggest problem in America. And that is unforgiveness and learning how to forgive ourselves. You know, I've counseled many people in my office, and I would say safely that 90% of anybody who has any issues, it's because of unforgiveness in their life. And so we need to know what unforgiveness is. And the other thing that I've come to realize is that for the universal church, that is for everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who confesses Jesus as their Lord, repentance is another issue that we have not learned. And I've always believed that repentance means you're walking down this path and all of a sudden you repent and you turn around and you're not walking down that path anymore. Well, repentance really means change of mind. We need to change the way we were thinking from unrighteousness to a thinking of a righteous pattern or a righteous way of thinking. And that's repentance. Romans 12:2, many of you know this, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and be willing to change the way we think. Starts with our heart. Acts 26:20. "But kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and then also to Jerusalem and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles," listen to this, "that they should repent and turn to God." Repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. You see, once you have turned your life and your mind has changed, your deeds need to follow, your actions, right? So we need to hear the good news. We need to share the good news so other people can turn their lives around, repent. So the text I chose today talks about end times and when Jesus is coming back again. And so many people have said, well, I've heard that Jesus is coming back very, very soon for all of my life. And Christians have been saying that for years and years and years. But the text says at the end of that, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Are we expected when we come to Jesus to change the way we act? Say that again.
Why shouldn't we?
Why shouldn't we? Yeah, because we're following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So why don't we? Change the way we act. Thought the only thing that we need to do is just accept Jesus. Is that it? Does it stop there? Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and I'm in, right? Let's say, Angelica's a good one to pick on for this one. Let's say that you are given a car for graduation, right? Is that car yours if you take that car and you park it out in the back 40 and you say, I'm going to keep it safe? Have you accepted that gift? You have taken it, but have you used it? Have you taken care of it? Have you driven it? Have you put gas in it? Have you changed the oil? It's the same thing with our Christian life. If we don't use, if we don't pursue Jesus, if we don't take care of it, if we don't take care of our relationship, you know, most people are proud of what they drive. But if they simply take their car or their pickup and park it in the back 40 and leave it alone, it means nothing. They've accepted the gift and said, I want that, but they don't pursue it. They don't take ownership of it. So our text again, listen, 2 Peter 3:8-11. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth with its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? How does Jesus work in our life? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, but though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if any was in Christ, listen to this, if you are in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you are a believer today, your ministry to other people is of reconciliation, helping them come to a right relationship with the Lord. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling to the world himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors to Christ. Does the American ambassador to Congo, maybe we don't have one, I don't know. Does the American ambassador to Congo act like an American or from Congo? He's an American, right? And he's there to represent America. Well, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin on our behalf to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. You know, the price tag of being a believer is pretty high. Jesus died for our sins. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also have, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if you come to Jesus on your knees, the Holy Spirit enters into your body and you are sealed. So let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, how ought you to act? Huh? Things are righteous, right? Galatians 5:13 through 26, we're not going to read the entire text, talks exactly about that. The first few verses, 13 through 26, talk about treating your neighbor as yourself, loving them like you love yourself. 16 through 21 talk about the desires of the flesh, and that if you're acting like that, you will not, listen to this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's read it, starting with verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how should we act? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Does anybody know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us also not become boastful, challenging one another, and envying each other. There's a parable that Jesus taught us, and I want to share that parable with you. Really says quite loudly what I'm trying to say. Matthew 21, starting with verse 28. But what do you think? Jesus says. A man had two sons. Kids, listen. Listen to this. A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And he said, I will not. Have you ever had any kids that say that? I will not. But afterward, he regretted and went. The man came to the second son and said the same. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two sons did the will of the father? And they said, the first. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse. You weren't repentant afterwards so that you might believe him. So I'm wondering today, do you consider yourself a Christian? Do you consider yourself a Christian? Someone who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, given your life over to him to be a part of your life. But there's no life in your faith. Maybe you're like the first son who said, yes, or maybe it was the second son, said, yes, I will accept Jesus, and then didn't pursue it. You put your faith out in the back 40, and it's just kind of sitting there somewhere, rusting. You're not living according to the Spirit. He's not been part of your life. We need to understand that we are all sinners, that we are all saved by grace, and that we need to live according to the Spirit and be followers of His. Luke 3, I'm just going to read verse 9. It says, indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Pretty scary. Pretty scary. Follow Jesus, live a righteous life, and pursue righteousness. Live a righteous life and pursue righteousness. I got to be honest with you, I didn't want this service to end. That means we got to say goodbye. Some of you know who Jim Day is. Jim Day told me once that after a funeral at the Christian church, Fritz Zimmerman, everybody was downstairs eating. Fritz Zimmerman was upstairs by himself, crying. You guys have been a blessing to us. May God bless you. Paul writes in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Amen.